So today, I want to talk about God is able. And there's certain things that happen in our lives, and we forget that God is able to do amazing things. We forget of just some things that God is able to do. And so sometimes all it takes is for us to just look at our circumstances and say, God is able. God is able. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3, verse 4. We're going to get right into it. So there's a king. His name is King Nebuchadnezzar. And he makes a statue of himself made out of gold. Everyone say gold. And he wants everyone to worship this golden statue. And there's three men. Their names are thank you. Shadrach, Meshach. I always say Radshak, not Shadrach. I always say Radshak, so I was scared. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So there's three men that are righteous men. Everyone say righteous men. Righteous. And they know better not to worship a false idol. This king wants everyone to worship this golden statue of himself. So this is where we're going to pick up. So the herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." I think it's kind of funny that they had this prepared. They had a fiery furnace prepared. Like, they're just ready to. So at the time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Stay with me, guys. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a fiery, burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Stay right there. Or not. How many of you guys know that there are these false gods that the world has set up? And they expect us, on Sunday, Pastor Drew was talking about how in private schools now, in Christian private schools, they want these Christian private schools to go against what we believe as Christians and not counsel same-sex couples and let a man who thinks he's a woman to go into a woman's restroom and all these things that contradict what these schools stand for, in the same way that the government's trying to pass in insurance policies or insurance bills that will force companies to cover abortions in their healthcare plans, and companies that reject it are being fined and being billed. And so there's these gods that are being set up, and the world wants to force us to bow down. This isn't any different from today. We look at billboards with women that are half naked, and we look at commercials that have nothing to do with sex, and yet sex is the center, even though you're selling chewing gum. There's these gods of these reality TV shows where we exalt these celebrities that are so ungodly, and yet we let our teenage girls watch these shows, and then we wonder why they get pregnant when they're teenagers, and we wonder why they want a boyfriend at 12 years old, and we wonder why we have guys that are, anyways. I don't want to hear it. So the world has set up these gods, and they expect us as Christians to just forget Jehovah and fall down and worship. I believe we all come to a certain point in our lives, and if you haven't come to that point yet, then you probably will, but there will be a point in your life, or you can probably think back to a time in your life where you either had to choose to fall down and worship God or to worship the world. When I graduated high school, or when I was about to graduate high school, I got saved 3 months before I graduated high school. I thank God for that. And during those 3 months, my plan, right before I graduated, my plan was to go to UC Riverside and be a neuroscientist. And I was in a dorm there. But then I found this church. And I found a God who loves me. And my whole life, my whole perspective on life changed. And now it's not about me wanting to get a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and be a doctor. It wasn't about that, because the truth is that none of that's going to matter in heaven anyway. My whole life completely changed, and it came about, how can I please my Father in heaven? How can I live a righteous life that will benefit me? And it's not even for me, but it's going to benefit me in eternity. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a hierarchy in heaven. Some people are going to be a lot closer. I'm not saying that you won't be close to God, but some people are going to be, there's going to be rulers in heaven. Some of you guys are going to be rulers in heaven. I pray that all of you guys, but some people are barely going to make it into heaven, and they're not going to be rulers of anything. But don't get me wrong, they'll be happy to be there. But there is a hierarchy in heaven. That's a side note. But I could have either fallen down and worshipped the God of education and the God of having a career. But I chose to stay in this little church in Pico Rivera. Which has gotten a lot bigger. When I first got to this church, we only had one service on Sunday. It was at 10 o'clock when I got to this church. And now we have 3 services on Sunday. We included in Esperanza. This church is growing, guys. And you guys are either in or out. And I pray that all of you guys are in. Amen? Amen. And so that was one time in my life where I made this choice. Okay, where are we? They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Next verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good, But if you do not," everyone say do not worship. Sorry, I've got my water bottle over here. "You shall be cast immediately into the midst of a fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you into my hands?" Everyone say, "I know which God." "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery, from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Stay right there, or not. "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able." Everyone say, "God is able." I had to open this. God is able. See, we kick ourselves in the hiney when we enter situations that we're not prepared for. Because see, living a Christian life will take you to places like this. Whether it's gossip in your workplace, or whether it's if you're in college where certain teachers are challenging you personally, they're attacking you personally. We have these moments in our lives where we're challenged. And people are watching to see, are you going to stay committed to your God, or are you going to fall down and worship something else? And it's amazing that these three men, they went in already knowing what? That God is able to save them. they are living a life prepared to do whatever it takes to not worship false gods and only worship Jehovah. Amen? Amen. And that is the case. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hands, O King. This is really cool. But if not, they said, even if God doesn't save us, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. He's like, even if God doesn't save us, your gods are still false. Kind of a good jab. Anyways. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Everyone say astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men? Everyone say 3 men. Bound into the midst of the fire. They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men. Everyone say 4 men. Loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Go back. Is Son of God capitalized, or is it lowercase? You Bible scholars, you. What does that mean? Who is this? It's Jesus. Okay, next verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. See how his attitude changed? Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair on their heads was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Someone say amen. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but we need to make the decision and the commitment to be committed to God. Because see, it would have been very easy for these 3 men to make an excuse and say, you know what, this time I'll worship. This time I'll fall down. It's okay, God will forgive me. And then next week I'll try extra hard to minister to someone. Or next time I'll try extra hard to like not sin. It could have been very, and the world, and even some Christians might look at that and say, oh, that's okay. Like, you know, we can give them the benefit of the doubt. But how much would they have lost? I mean, look at the experience. I mean, could you imagine being one of them and you get thrown in this fire and you're not burning? And all of a sudden there's a 4th person with you, and it's Jesus. And it's God who no matter what you're going through, he's right there with you. Do you guys see what they would have missed if they would have made an excuse of just saying, you know what, this time I won't do it. This time I won't obey God. How many things are we missing? How many experiences or miracles or awesome demonstrations of God's power might have we missed because we made an excuse to maybe not talk to that person or to not pray for that person? Amen. To be led by God means to be led by God. Amen. To call yourselves Christians means you're led by God. And it's not something that only takes place on Wednesdays and Sundays. Listen, there's plenty of people who come on Wednesdays and Sundays, but Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they're living for themselves.
You guys okay? I have another point. Actually, I didn't even go over my first point. My first point was kind of weird. I don't know how to say it, but God is able to save you from the world. Whatever the world, whatever Satan throws at you, because I get, like, am I the only person? Well, I'm not the only person. Come on, there it is. Who's had some tension at work with people? Yeah. Never mind. Okay, God is able to save you from the world. Whatever that looks like, whatever that looks like for you, the situations that we might not have control over, God can save you. Amen? Amen? My second point is God is able to save you from sin. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such that is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape. Everyone say way of escape. That you may be able to bear it. Now, keep in mind, God is talking about temptation. There's a difference between being tempted, and there's a big difference between putting yourself in the place of temptation. Because see, you could be, if you used to be an alcoholic, you could be at home and you could be craving like a beer or maybe a tequila shot. In that situation, God will make a way. Whether he tells you to start speaking in tongues, where he tells you, hey, call Pastor Drew, or he says, hey, call a brother in Christ and have them pray for you. Whatever it is, God has a way for you to get out. But if you're hanging around in front of a liquor store with your friends, okay, now who, like, really, like, come on. You can't say, oh, I'm being tempted right now. Get out of there. Why? What are you doing there? Same thing with young people that like to mess around with things they shouldn't be messing around with, or people. Don't put yourself in places of temptation and then start praying this. Don't put yourself in that temptation. Amen? Before you get yourself in that situation, that's when you should call Pastor Drew or call Pastor Tamara or call a brother in Christ. Or a sister in Christ. Amen? So I'm just making that clear. God's right here. The Apostle Paul is not talking about situations that you put yourself in. No, he's talking about when you're at home and you're by yourself and Satan reminds you of things that you'd want to be reminded of. He's talking about those things where Satan is attacking you. Not when your silly self does silly things. Go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone say, God is able. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He's talking about Jesus. Therefore, he is also able. Everyone say, able. He is also able. Thank you, Jake. Therefore, he is also able to save. Everyone say, save. To the uttermost, or in the Greek, uttermost could also be translated into completely. Therefore, he is also able to save completely those who come to God through him, Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for them. God is able to save us from our sin. I don't know if there's a sin that you're struggling with, whether it's pornography, whether it's alcohol, whether it's lying. Some of us cannot stop lying. Some of us can't stop making excuses. Some of us can't get up at 7 in the morning to pray because we like sleeping in until 11 o'clock. I don't know what your sin is, but Jesus is able to save you from that. Amen? God is able. And I don't care if Satan has convinced you to lose hope and lose trust in God. I believe that is one of the biggest lies that Satan will throw at you is to tell you that God is not able. That God isn't going to save you, or God doesn't love you anymore, actually, that's, well, I think it goes with it, but it'll be my third point. But okay. Satan convinces us that Jesus doesn't really satisfy. Because if Satan convinces us that Jesus doesn't really satisfy, then we look to other places and we bow down to other gods for that satisfaction. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You know, I used to think that, Jake, come up here. Stand right here. I always used to think that, oh, you're tall. That's okay. You'll get the point. I always used to think that that God was like up here, and he was like, Jake, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to go here. You got to go there. I always thought that God was above me. Now, don't get me wrong. God is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Of course, he's above us. But listen to what I'm saying. I always thought that God was acting from up here. Jake, go do that. Go do that. And it was like, it was almost like he was like bombarding me. He was almost like a ruler over me. And you could tell. And you wear that. You feel like you were like God. Like it just feel like so stressed out. Or you just feel like God is just this almost like this tyrant. But the truth is, Jake, come up here. Is that God is with you side by side. Just like in that fight in front, he's with you. He's saying, all right, Jake, let's go over here, or let's go over there, or let's talk to that person. You look very handsome, by the way. Yeah. See, God is not, he's not confrontational and being like, hey, this, and this. No, God is standing right next to us. I had a dream about a couple of years ago. It was the best dream I've ever had because I saw Jesus. I've never seen Jesus in my dreams, but I saw him this one time. And I had this dream that I was in this dark room, and I was trying to pray, and I couldn't pray. I felt like God was far from me. I feel like he wasn't listening to me. I was in this dark room, and I'm trying to pray, and nothing's happening. I just feel like nothing is working, and I don't understand why. And so I'm in this room, and the door opens, and I see Jesus standing outside. And he has his hands out like this. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's Jesus. And so I come out of this dark room and I go into the light. And Jesus grabs my hands and Jesus starts praying for me. Oh, nice, nice. And I started crying. I lost it. Because Jesus was praying for me. The Bible says that Jesus stands or sits at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Yeah. He's interceding for every single one of you guys. None of you guys are alone. None of you guys are alone in your sin. None of you guys are alone in your depression or if you have thoughts of suicide or thoughts of this marriage isn't going to work. You're not alone. You have someone in... Where did the scripture go? Verse 25. He always, everyone say always, lives to make intercession for them. This is what Jesus is doing for every single one of us. He is praying for us. Some of you guys have your grandma or your mom or your great-great-grandma to thank for being in church because you knew they were praying for you, or your aunt or your uncle, whoever it was. They were interceding for you. Jesus is in heaven right now interceding for us. He is also able to save. Don't lose hope. Jesus is our hope. Amen. And he can save you from your sin. Amen? Amen. How am I doing? Okay. Amen. Amen. All right, my third point, which is my favorite. God is able to fulfill you. There's this documentary. It's called Father of Lights, and this guy, he travels the world and he pretty much made a documentary about the Father's love. And in this documentary, he has this there's this guy, he has a testimony, and he talks about how him and his family, they would go to church every Sunday. I don't know if they went every Wednesday, but they went to church consistently, and they would always sit in the back, and that was their Christianity. And they said that one day they were sitting in the back, and the pastor made an altar call, and so this man, he felt led, and he felt led. He got up, and his life completely changed. And he said that this man was a I don't know what bank he was, but he was a vice president of a very big bank, and. But he said that day I caught fire of God. Where before he would just come to church and him and his family, they were just lukewarm. They're in church, but they're not really living for God. If that's you today, jump in today, amen. And so he comes up for this altar call. He says he starts crying, and he receives this mission from God. And so he quits his job. He quits being a vice president, and he sells all his things. He sells his house, and I think he has two daughters, and they move to China. And they open up this orphanage for mentally disabled Chinese infants that had been rejected. And they talk about all these stories about how like they would find kids in like these boxes on a ship and all these things, like infants like under 1 year old, and how at first it was a struggle because they were trying to get funding, they're trying to get space, but looking back a few years later, it's like this thriving orphanage, and you see a bunch of like kids running around, and it's so amazing because they have like this they have like these scenes of this couple just holding these kids, and they're looking at them with so much love and talk about how they're living life for God. Now, when God called them to do that, he had a choice. Was he going to bow down to God Almighty and accept God's calling, God's purpose for his life? Or could he have made excuses and say, no, like, I'm needed at my bank. Oh, I can preach and I can minister to the other bankers. Oh, no, I'm making a lot of money. I'm going to give more money to the church. See, there's good things that he could have done, but would it have justified it? No. And my point is that, actually, I'll show you. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. I think the reason that this man accepted this purpose is because he was living without purpose. Right. I don't know where you're at with God, but living a life without purpose is not living a life for God. Right. It's not. Yeah. God has a purpose for every single one of us. Right. And to not fulfill that purpose is a sin. Because how can you call Jesus Christ Lord and Savior if you don't let him be your Lord? If you don't let him direct your life? You're only fooling yourself. Coming to church on Wednesdays and Sundays is only fooling yourself if you're still living the life for yourself. Yourself. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Everyone say, dwell in your hearts. Dwell in your hearts. Through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width. Everyone say, width. And length. And depth. And height. Check this out. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled. Everyone say, filled. With all the fullness of God. Go back to verse, I think, 17, Daniel. Now, I know I'm a single man, but can I talk to couples? Is that okay? From the Bible? Every once in a while, I'll counsel some friends that might be in relationships or they're thinking about it, and pretty much every time I tell them this. So, there's many times where we let our emotions lead us in relationships, and many times it's our emotions that are at the center of relationships. And how many of you guys know that emotions can get pretty ugly, right? Yes. Married people, can emotions get pretty ugly? Yes. But if we remove our emotions from being the center of your relationship or your marriage, and you allow this to be at the center, I promise you things are going to change. Now, I'm not married and I'm single, but I've been in church for 5 years and I've seen it done right and I've seen it done wrong. I hope I picked up a few things. Amen? I really hope so. Because some of the mistakes that you guys, some people, have made, And listen, I know a lot of you guys here, and many of you guys have told me your stories, and many of you guys told me how you've done it wrong and how you've done it right. So I'm not saying you guys are doing it wrong now. In the past, you might have done it wrong. And so I've learned from those things, not from right now. And so one thing I've learned is that not to let emotions to be the center of the relationship, but to let God be the center of your relationship. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded, say right here, rooted and grounded in love. See, so many times you might get a fight with someone, and this even happens with friends. You get in a fight with your friends, and your whole week is ruined. Why is your whole week ruined? It happened 6 days ago. It's because you're rooted in your emotions. You're not rooted and grounded in the love of God. Because if you're rooted and if we were secure in knowing that God loves us and we're cool with God, bad terminology, but hopefully you get it, that we're in right standing with God, it doesn't matter what anyone does to us. I have the love of God. Because see, many times our emotions get all huffy and puffy. It's because there's a lack of satisfaction in some area. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. I'm not happy. Or you said that and you said that. I didn't like that. I'm not happy. We put so much weightiness on other people's words and emotions. But we should really put the weightiness is on God's love. And so I tell young people in Sozo, or sorry, well, like college age, because Sozo should not be dating, because if you're in high school, you're not ready. You're just not. Amen. Amen. And even after high school, you might need some work. But I tell them, you as a person, you as an individual, need to be grounded. Need to be grounded and rooted. Stop it. Grounded and rooted in God first. So that when you go through marriage problems and when you go through relationship problems, the shaking isn't that hard. The shaking doesn't take you months and weeks to get over. Weeks and months to get over. Because how amazing would it be I know couples fight, and I think that's a good thing because it helps you learn from each other and helps you grow together. I think that's a good thing. I'm not saying fight physically, obviously, but I'm saying, you know, huffy puffy emotions. But how awesome would it be for that to last 10 minutes, and then 10 minutes later, like, you ask for forgiveness right away, instead of having to wait 7 days and, you guys know what I'm talking about? Does that make sense? God is able. Amen? And so God is able to keep you grounded and rooted if you just give it to him. God is able to fulfill you. And if right now you feel like you're living an unfulfilled life, like you don't have a purpose, then I invite for you tonight when you go home, separate yourself from everything and ask God, God, what is your purpose for my life? Because of this, go to Ephesians 3:20. Separate yourself and ask God, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? Now to him, everyone say him. Yeah. Say God. Who is able. Everyone say God is able.
God is able.
Say it again.
God is able.
Now put a karate chop to it. Come on, Edgar. No, don't hit your wife. Kidding. Now to him who was able to do it exceedingly. Everyone say exceedingly.
Exceedingly.
Abundantly.
Abundantly.
Above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. The next it says to him be the glory. But God is able to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Go back to verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is in us. God's purpose for your life is this. I don't know what it is, but I know it's going to be this. I don't know if you're called to be an accountant. I don't know if you're called to be a pastor. I don't know if you're called to be a teacher. But I know that whatever that calling is will be exceedingly abundantly above all that you will ever accomplish on your own. And the truth is, anything we accomplish without God is really worth nothing. When we all get to heaven and when we all meet God face to face, God is going to be like, wow, you ran that company well. Anything that we accomplish outside of God's will is nothing. That's the truth. And when I got saved, that's one of the things I realized, that I could be the best neuroscientist in the whole entire world, but at the end of the day, if I led no one to Christ, my life was nothing. If I didn't infect and affect people and had the ministry of reconciliation where I connected people to God, then what was my life worth? What was it? Really? At the end, what does it matter? From dust we came and to the dust we return. But what things did you do on a supernatural level that lasts into eternity? Just like the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whatever it is in your life that you're going through, don't make excuses to not do God's will. Jump all in today. We looked at all the things that God is able to do in our lives, but listen, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God was able to do those things because they put him first. And you can do all those things and even greater things. And you can go through things and God will be glorified. Nebuchadnezzar, after the three men came out and he saw that they weren't harmed at all, he made a decree that everyone in the nation, at that point, that was the most powerful nation in the entire world. He said, everyone in this nation is going to serve Jehovah. Nice. Now, how much that could have been missed if they would have made an excuse to not put God first. Put God first in everything. No matter what the struggle, no matter what the financial struggle, no matter what, whatever it is, put him first, and I guarantee you, you can see amazing things happen in your life. Why? Because God is able. Amen? Bow your heads and close your eyes. If something I said tonight, or should I say, if something the Holy Spirit spoke to you tonight, just resonates with you, and you say, Lord, he was talking to me. I'm living an unfulfilled life, or God, I need to be reminded that you're able to take me out of my sin, or God, I need to be reminded that I need to put you first. Whatever it is, let's mark this moment in our lives. Because for some of you, actually for all of us, we don't have time to make excuses anymore. We are running out of time, guys. And this, especially now in the state of the world and in the state of our nation, very soon it's going to be really clear who's following God and who's just playing church. And so I encourage all of you guys, it doesn't matter how you've lived in the past few months, in the past few years, in the past few days, it doesn't even matter what you did this morning, let tonight be the beginning of the rest of your life. God is able. Remind yourself of that. No matter what situation you're going in, God is able. And so that if that's you tonight, if the Holy Spirit spoke something to you and you need to speak to a situation, or you need to know that God is able to fulfill my life, whatever it is, I encourage you guys right now to stand up. Just said, no one's judging you. No one's looking at you. It's not even between me and you right now. It's between you and God. For those of you who stood up, when you lift up your hands, and say, God, I know you are able to fulfill me. I know you are able to save me from the world. I know you are able to save me from my sins and myself. I commit my life to you, Lord. that I won't make excuses and I won't doubt you. But I know and I know that you are able. Father, I thank you for everyone who stood up, God, that they leave encouraged, Father, that they leave not with a sense of not being good enough or a lack of worth, Father, but they leave with a sense of I am a child of the Most High, and God loves me, and God has favor over me. That they leave with a sense of purpose, Father, knowing that just encouraged and excited to just let go of the things of the world and embrace your fulfillment, God, that we fill ourselves with your fullness. Let that be every single one of us, God, that we fill ourselves with your fullness. We fill ourselves with your presence, God. That no matter what trials we face, no matter what we go through, we can always just go back to your presence, Father, and receive that peace, receive that grace, receive that mercy, Father. And we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.